This is episode 35 of the Driving Eureka podcast, where we'll discuss the impact of sunlight, exercise, and sleep on creativity. Let's go! The Driving Eureka podcast with Doug Hall and Trip Babbitt is sponsored by the Eureka Ranch. The ranch specializes in helping companies find, filter, and fast-track big ideas. This is part two of the science of innovation success. So
yeah. Okay. See, isn't that cool? So see, now I've got it into your whole life. So this is really going to give you stuff to talk about this weekend, okay? Because we're gonna go right at life. I just thought I'd put together a set of kind of like the human condition. On sort of the environmental. We'll talk about environment more in some of these other episodes, but this idea of the environment and what we're doing and do it. And so these are all scientific facts based on data come out of the Driving Eureka book that can kind of open up your minds to thinking about just little things you can do that can move things in the right direction.
Cool. And Walt Disney is involved in sunlight.
Yeah. The first one is how sunlight can help you think quicker, smarter, and more creatively. And new research confirms this, and Walt Disney really believed in this. Mm. And the research study was really monstrous. It involved 750 classrooms and over 21,000 students. And it found that students in classrooms with the most daylight learned 20 to 26% faster than students with the least daylight. Even standardized test results in math and reading increased significantly. I mean, this is huge. This is huge. And Walt Disney believed in it so strong, he designed his studios to leverage natural light. In fact, I've worked with Disney a number of times, and to visit some of the original studios he had. And he always had them on a south-facing wall so they could get really good light, really good light. But, you know, sadly, we spend a lot of time in kind of inside, away from the light. And I don't know what it is, if it's the full spectrum or what it is. But, you know, well, let's open them up, okay? Get up, get out, and let the sun shine. I mean, let's start doing some work outside. Let's do some work outside. Let's meet outside. Let's talk outside. Let's stimulate those synapses.
So Doug, when you built the ranch, did you already know about this information? Because the ranch is got lots of picture windows, and you know there's a lot of natural light that comes in.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
And it has a gargantuan wall, which the HVAC guy was quite upset about.
Oh.
He says, you know, I'm going to have to put a lot of cooling in. What if we put some shades on that? I said, you ain't putting no shades on that wall. But that is exactly what it's about. And what's funny is there's even skylights on top.
Yeah.
And people sit there and the sun will be coming in. And they go, the sun's in my eyes. And so they want us to cover it. I say, maybe you should just move like 3 feet.
Interesting. Okay. I never knew that. I just went, you know, is this an observation that the ranch is very, open when you have your classes there? And I thought, well, I wonder if Doug knew about that ahead of time. So is it facing
south?
You think
I just talk about stuff? I only talk about stuff. One of my standards, whenever I talk about research, is truth beyond a reasonable doubt. And what that means is, I don't care about how big the study is or how small the study is. If I see the study and the mechanism and how the study was done and how the research was done, or even in our own work, the question is, beyond a reasonable doubt means you would apply that to your life without further consideration. You would you absolutely believe that that's the case. In fact, I'm on my way after this to visit with a client. And we've got some small base data, but it's the real data on real projects. We're tracking the product development system to increase speed of the product development system. And while the data is small, it is the complete sample of their projects. So it's not, there's no sampling error because we got 100% of the sample. And so that's an example where I have a lot of credibility to this data because this is what they've really done. As opposed to a piece. And so, you know, with things like sunlight, yes, the ranch is absolutely built there. Absolutely built like that.
Cool. I was just curious, and it makes sense. So I know. Does the ranch face south? I don't even, I kind of, does
back
it?
Back wall does. It faces south.
It does. Okay. All right. Well, you went to, you went the full route. Wow.
It was set that way. It was done. I've been doing this research for a long time. This is not like some podcast, you know, research thing. Okay. I'm actually old, you know. I've been doing this for a long time.
All right. Very good. So the second thing you have here is exercising your body and helps. And I've got tons of information on this. I've been reading so much on Brain Rules, one by John Medina. But why don't you go through what you have on exercise?
So a professor at Ball State University in your state of Indiana did a study of over 300 small business owners regarding their exercise, their sales, and the rewards, the profits that they made as an entrepreneur. And quite simply, those that worked out more regularly had more successful businesses. And digging in even deeper, which I thought was kind of interesting, that runners, people that do aerobic exercise, saw better sales results than weightlifters. Both had more personal satisfaction than those couch potatoes, but only the runners had better company performance than sedentary people. And I have seen this a lot, and there's other studies on this that show it. And it, you don't have to run. What you have to do is a, I'm going to get a little bit voodoo here, okay? Yeah. So I'm going to go from science to theory now so that we're separating them. But you have to do something rhythmic. Mm. And so it can be biking, it can be cross-country skiing, it can be swimming, but something rhythmic. And there is a belief that this creates a bit of a meditative state and that from this ideas come because the mind is slowed down when you get into that rhythmic exercising thing that you're doing. And I myself am pretty vigorous on it. I mean, I do some sort of aerobic thing, you know, 5 to 7 times a week. I have found that when I have a lot to do, if I stop and exercise, I get more done because I solve ideas, I get answers, and I do it. And so, you know, I can fully understand that those people that do this are getting, again, some, just like the sunlight. Now, the best of all is do it outside. See? You're doing it together.
So that's why your weight room has windows too.
That's right.
And that's in the ranch. there you go.
And the ranch has a 1.4 mile paved path around the lake out back for that exact reason.
Very good. Well, I have in this book I've been reading, because this really has captivated my attention. With regards to exercise, if you can do aerobic, I think you used the word rhythmic, but aerobic 2 to 3 times a week for 30 minutes. And like you said, it could be bicycling, it could be walking, fast or running or whatever you want to do. But if you also added in a strengthening regimen, that you had increased cognitive benefit with the combination of the two. And then, but there's other benefits. So you decrease Alzheimer's and all types of good stuff that are associated with it. But one of the interesting facts that I pulled from Medina's book was that the brain consumes 20% of your body's energy, and yet the brain is 2% of your total weight, which I thought was kind of interesting. But the exercise provides access, greater access to oxygen and food by virtue of the fact. So that kind of makes sense with all the stuff that you're saying, that, you know, you can come up with better ideas because your brain is being able to fill it up. So very good. I like the idea of exercise. I exercise regularly. I'm still not at my ideal weight, but I do run. So, okay. The next one is sleep.
So sunshine, aerobic exercise, and now we're going to sleep our way to big ideas. Now, there's been a lot of thought that the brain, given time to incubate, that ideas come to you. You know, you take a nap or you go to sleep and you wake up in the middle of the night and eureka, you got it, right? Well, scientists at a university in Germany have validated that for the first time that our sleeping brains continue to work on problems. Volunteers were 3 times more likely than sleep-deprived participants to successfully solve a series of math problems. You know, And so that what they found is that sleep helps us consolidate memories, sharpen thoughts. It's like we start to go into a computer routine, start to go through it, I think. Mm-hmm. And this is finding that the mind, when we sleep, and there's a famous writer, poet, an artist named Sark, S-A-R-K, who's a good friend. And I remember her telling me, she says she was writing a book and she was on deadline. I said, what are you doing? She says, I'm napping more often. Because she says, when I nap, I get the answers. So she came to the ranch and she was helping us with a client and she needed to have a nap room. So she would just walk away and take a nap.
But you know, Doug, it's true. And this, and some of the research that's put, I pulled out of Medina's research, or that he's pulled into his book, Brain Rules, says the same thing. A 30-minute nap, it does unbelievably good things for you as far as, you know, your energy level, your awareness level, all those types of things. It's amazing what 30, and it sounds bizarre, but, you know, you've seen The Internship, you know, with at Google, you know, they have nap pods, you know, you go out and you take a nap and, you know, refreshes the brain and does all those types of things. So it's really cool. And one of the pieces of data that's kind of interesting too, is that sleep deprivation costs U.S. businesses, they estimate, about $100 billion a year. So not only does it create good ideas, but there's good reasons to avoid the cost associated with it. Interesting.
And I've got a, I mean, I'm sure there's a bunch of these things because there's tons of these things, but I've got this Power Nap app.
Oh, really?
That I'll use. And you can set, I'm opening it up here now. And you can set up a power nap, 20 minutes, 45 minutes, and then a full sleep cycle. So the idea is that it wakes you before you get into a deep sleep cycle. Now, clearly the deep sleep cycle is going to help you more, but, you know, we don't always have time to do a full 90 to 120 minute deep sleep cycle. So I find that useful.
Yeah, no, I think so. I agree. I didn't know about the innovation portion of that, which is cool. I like that. All right, Doug. Well, that concludes this week's Science of Innovation Success.
And if you want to get more of these, get the book Driving Eureka, available at your independent bookseller and all internet sellers. It's got many more of these things on the Science of Innovation Success. See you next week.
All right.
Thank you for listening to the Driving Eureka podcast. This podcast is part of the Innovation Engineering Institute. Innovation engineering is a new field of academic study and leadership science. Its mission is to change the world by enabling innovation by everyone, everywhere, every day, resulting in increased speed and decreased risk. To learn more about on-campus, off-campus, live and online courses, visit innovationengineering.org.